Talking about prayer. What are we talking about? I didn't hear you. You know, the thing about communication is that it's a very difficult thing sometimes. People don't really hear. Somebody can sit here and be looking at me and still not hearing what I'm saying. You say, is it possible? When we make announcements, do you hear? Are you not the same people that go home and say, was it announced? And you were sitting here and Pastor Victor will go through and through. He will try to devise a means to make you laugh so that you remember. Still you ask, Pastor, was it announced? But you are here. You see, the thing you cannot toy with, and I want you to listen to me, we're not here forever. You can kid with everything, but not your life. You can joke with anything you want to joke with, but believe you me, please don't joke with what? Your life. Because we're not here forever. We're not young every year. Every time you hear people tell you, you are looking young, they are telling you are old. That's what it means. You can't see people and say you are young. No, once you hear them say, Pastor, you are really looking young, what they are telling you in essence is, you are really old. And we're all going to get there. We're all going to get old. We're all going to get very old. We're going to quit, take exit, and leave this world. So while you're here, don't toy with your life. You don't have to. This is the real deal. This is not rehearsal. This is the real deal. We are in it right now. It's happening. This is real happening in real time. And you cannot toy with what God has to say. Because God is the only one who can guide you accurately how to maximize your life. Put your potential to work for you. And how to enjoy the blessings of God before you become too old to eat meat. So you owe it to yourself to listen to the word of God. You don't owe it to me. I have my life to live. I have my own challenges to fight. And as I learn the word of faith, I fight them. I see it work for me. I'm healthy. See it work for me. If you don't want it to work for you, that's your real deal. Because it's your life. And challenges must what? Must come. If you think rituals is what will work for you, enjoy yourself. If you think, you don't even want to hear what they're talking about. If you have something else that works for you, enjoy yourself. But I stick with the word of God. Because this is what works 24/7. And so when God talks about prayer, you should listen. We come from a culture of, I know what to do. We don't know nothing to do. We're talking to our people and say, can we plan this? They say, don't worry. If we get there, we'll know what to do. If you don't know what to do before you are going there, you won't know what to do when you get there. I'm telling you. It's one of the demonic deceits to make you overlook what God is telling you because you think you have the answer. I'm telling you. You think you know what to do. If the devil gets you there, you are in trouble already. It's a very patient spirit. It's a matter of time. He plants that pride and start growing, and what will happen naturally is that at a point you come down. Will you come down? Of course you come. So we're talking about prayer, and you got to listen. So I'm going to answer some of the questions that were asked on Thursday, then I will conclude it with, I know preach half of my sermon where it was talking about the love of God. So some people say, when do I stop praying? What's the question? When do I stop praying? What's the question? Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, what things soever, what? And this is Jesus talking. When you pray. What did he say to do? Believe that you receive them. And what will happen? Now, if you follow instructions, you will be confused as to when to stop praying. If you follow instructions, you will not be confused. And all these things, God says, wait. Come on, man. God is not schizophrenic. God's not like that. God can be predicted. If God cannot be predicted, we can't follow him. He says, I don't change. He said, because I don't change, the sons of Jacob will not be consumed, which means they can understand how to walk with me. I don't change. If I show you the way I do things, I don't change. So you can't say, maybe tomorrow. You say, no. There is no iota of what? Change. What I tell you can depend on it. It's not going to change. Follow instruction. Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you what? Pray. What did he say to do then? Believe that what? Come on now. Believe what? Then what will happen? Are you here? If you are not here, let me know. He says, therefore, I say unto you, what things ever you what? Desire. When you pray. When do you believe you receive it? At the point you pray. And he said, if you believe that you receive it, then it shall be yours. Case closed. Then John 15:7. John 15:7. If you abide in me, see the instruction. If you what? Abide in me. And my words what? Abide in you. Two instructions. Two ifs. The first if is if you what? Abide in me. And the second if is what? If my words what? Abide in you. Two things. Then it says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. So the question is, what does he mean by abide in me? And he answers it. He explains it. Because God knows how to communicate. So let's go down and read 1 John 2:24. First John 2:24. Let that therefore abide what? In you, which you have had from the beginning. If that which you have had from the beginning shall remain in you, then you also shall continue where? In the Son. And so he's telling you what? When he says abide in me, he's saying let that which you had from the beginning do what? Abide in you. If it abides in you, then you are abiding in me and in. So what did you hear from the beginning? The gospel. The gospel. Everybody say the gospel. Come on, say it louder. The gospel. That's what we have from the beginning. If you continue to believe what you have from the beginning, only believe and you shall be saved. If you continue to believe the gospel, you are abiding in him. But if you start believing something else, you're outside of him. Look at Ephesians 3:12. Ephesians 3:12. Let's hear what the gospel says. In whom we have, number one, what? Boldness. And number two, what? Access with confidence only by faith of him. We have access, we have boldness, we have confidence only through him. Faith we have in him. Only through him. That's what the gospel taught us at the beginning. That Christ in you is the only hope of what? If you, that word abides in you, you are abiding in him. Ephesians 2:18. For through him, through who? Remove him. Can you put something else there? But you know we do. You know we do. We do. We remove him and put whatever we do, taking that through him. Not through anything else. It's through him. It's through him. Church, I lie not. I'm telling you the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God. You can't create another. Your goodness is not taking you to God at all. You'll be so surprised, but that's true. Because all our righteousness is like filthy rag. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up at all. If God will check us out here, some of us are not coming back here again. If God will show you all your secrets on this screen, you will leave. And you're not coming back soon. If God will take all your thoughts and everything you've done that nobody knows and show it here, right here, believe you, you are not coming back in 1 month. So the scripture says, for through him. Come on, let's read it together. For through him, we both have access by one spirit unto through him. If you want to go to this place, you go through here. He's the thoroughfare. He is the thoroughfare church. Don't let anybody deceive you. If what you've had from the beginning abides in you, then you are him. Christ in you. Then he says, if my words abide in you. So what is God saying about that thing you're praying about? You don't care to know? So how will you have faith? How will faith come? You got to find out what God is saying. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing and hearing. You got to know. The Bible says, who is it that says and it comes to pass except the Lord has faced what? You need to know what he commanded about this situation because that's what will come to pass. You got to know. I told them on Thursday, I said, my father said to me, you will never marry somebody that's not your wife. I said, Daddy, how can you be sure? He said, God told me. His faith was solid because he heard from God. He said, when I heard you, I lifted you up and handed you over to God. You see why I'm here and I'm preaching. It's my father's fault. He said, I handed you over to God. I carried you and I committed it to his hand. I gave it to him. And then I said, Lord, don't let him marry the wrong wife. He said, he told me, I will not let him marry the wrong wife. So where did that confidence come to be? Talking to me with confidence, I say, you will never. Faith cometh by what?
Yeah.
If he didn't hear, he will be confused. Whether is God saying, wait, don't wait. All that is lack of faith. Not when you know what God has said. If you know what God has said, you'll be confident about it. 1 John 5:14. You're my body. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, if we ask what? According to his will. He will wait. He will say, hold on. You know, until I discuss with Angel Michael. Where do we get all these ideas from? Where do we get them from? Why don't we read the Bible? Simply follow the Bible. Again, you don't have all the... You can deny yourself of God's blessings. That's your headache. But don't blame God. He says, and this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. We have it because we're in Christ. We're in Christ. We have believed the gospel and we're saved. We're in him. We are in him. The Spirit of God put us in him. We are baptized into him. We have all the privileges of those who are in him. We have access by the Spirit of God in us. If we ask anything according to his will, is a confidence every Christian must have. It's not whether he will hear or not. No, he said you should have that confidence. Verse 15. Can we read 15 together? Verse 15. And if we now know that what?
He has.
Whatsoever we ask, then we also know that we have the petitions that we want. So you're not telling me God says, wait. No, he said, I should know that I have it. So he said, if you know that if you ask anything according to my word that I hear you, then you should know. You should be confident that you have the petition that what? You've made. So nobody is saying, God says, wait, to tell him, you God, sit down. Can you hear? Can you say that? I have this confidence now. I've asked him according to his will. He said, if you do that, you get it. If you do that, You get it. And God's word is yea. Are you hearing me? So that's why Jesus now said, Mark 11:24. Let's read it again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, then believe what? That you have them. And then what will happen? If you don't believe you have them, you won't have them. Let's read it again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that what? You receive them. And what will happen? But if supposing you don't believe you receive them, what will happen? You don't have them because you don't have the confidence that he's talking about. So you should have this confidence. You should know the way I behave. I don't change. I'm not going to change. You can't even change me. God is not another directed God that changes because of you. He's unchangeable. We sing it, unchangeable. Unchangeable God. Right? God said, because I don't change, you cannot be consumed. He said, you can trust me. If I tell you this way I behave, you can't change me. You can't change me. I still behave like that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the cheapest thing to get something from God. It can't be cheaper than that. It's easy. Very easy. It's a bunch of religious wrong teaching that has printed a God that is not the God of the Bible. In fact, they have given us devil as God. Tell us how hard it is, how difficult it is. You know, this God is watching over you. If you don't get everything 100%. The Lord said to me once, he said, if I kill you for one wrong, how about the things you get good? How about the rest of them? If I kill you because you did something wrong, say, how about the other ones you got right? So what kind of judgment is that? And if I kill you for the one you did wrong, so what's the chance for you to change and get it right the next time? So I throw you away, you got it wrong, I say a prayer. So what's the chance for you to now change so that you get it right, what? The next time. So my mercy will never depart from you. Can I hear a big amen? So, but we must know how to receive from God and know how to hold it. If you don't know how to receive from God, that's what brings all this. God says with. God didn't say with nothing. Show me one scripture that what God says with nothing. They say with nothing. It's in your imagination. You are talking to yourself like that. It's in your imagination. Tell you. You must know how to receive from God. How do you receive from God? How do you receive from God? Jesus told us, if you ask, believe that you have what? Received it. Before you see it. You don't have to see it because faith is about what you don't see. Hey, Jesus, come. If you ask, come. No, I'm God. You are not. I should be God. You are the one who asks. No, okay, you are God. Okay. No, you are God. You don't look like God. There's a way you look. Your sin is so much. I think I look like God, right? Okay. Okay, we're just trying to illustrate something, okay? You ask me, but you don't see me. I'm God. You don't see me. But I'm telling you what I do, because I'm real. He that cometh to God must believe that he is what? He says this. I'm telling you, ask. Come on, you now ask. If you ask, I give. If you ask, I what? Give. Ask, it shall be what? Giving is God's role, but receiving is your role now. You won't receive. You say, God says, where did you get this idea? God says, no. God will wait. God, sometimes he says this. Sometimes he says that. So when can I trust him? If sometimes he says this, sometimes he says that, he's unreliable. But it doesn't change. If he tells you this is what I do, that is what he does. So he says, ask and it shall be what? If you ask anything according to my will, have the confidence that you'll receive it because I'll give it to you. So he gives, and then this is the man here. God is giving, and he's still talking. He's still talking, Lord. You see what I'm going through? God said, I've given. I keep my word. You should learn how to what? So, for you to receive in this, in the natural, you use this hand. This is faith. This is faith. This doesn't make me give. This is only, what makes me give is my grace and mercy. I give because I love you. Then he stretches this hand because he had me. If my word abide in him, if he had me, what I said, and he knows he has access to me because of the gospel he had, if my word abides in him, that have that confidence. Just have that confidence. If you have this in according to my word, don't watch, just believe that you have received it. When he says, the moment he says, I have it, the moment he says what? I have it. What happens? Then the Bible says, hold fast to that what? Now come. He's a salesman, so he will do this for us. Now, this is somebody who is also interested in this. Come this side. He's interested in this. Don't call the name, please. It's our brother. You know the person we are talking about? Ah, you don't know? If you say again, we switch sides. So our brother is not the enemy. It's no, but it's just trying to illustrate. Yes, that he's interested in this thing. Then he goes to him and whispers and says, God says, wait. And he says, check your surrounding. Check the thing. Now nothing is working. Check. Check. And then as he's doing that, the Holy Spirit comes and says, do not walk by sight. Walk by who now decides? But he says, at the point he listens to him, and then the thief has stolen what? Who let him steal it? Then he remains here and be telling people, God says, wait, so I'm waiting. I am what? Remember me, Lord, remember me. Oh Lord. Ignorance is his problem. The day he wakes up and says, wait a minute, I received this thing. He goes after him. He says, in the name of Jesus, do what? Give me back what is mine. Do you know how many things Christians lose every day to this thief? Because they won't follow the Bible. Whom resist in your what? Faith. They won't follow the Bible. Looking for easy way out, cheap way out. Lazy man. Get up and do something. I say, devil, I don't want to hear you no more in this case. The Bible says, it's mine. You are a thief, you want it. Shut up and get up. Get up and fight. Get up and what? And stop calling me. Praise the Lord. Did you get that? Thank you, my brothers. Let's clap for them. Romans 4:17, as it is written, God said to Abraham, I've made thee a father of what? Come on, church, how do you make an old man a father of many nations? You're not talking of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, which quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father. He said it was hopeless, but he needed to believe to become that thing. He who against hope believed in hope, he had the expectation that what God says will come to pass. He said it was a hopeless thing. He said he did that so that he might become what God said. If he didn't do that, he will not become. See it for yourself there. If I give me New Living Translation in that verse 18. New Living Translation. This is your system. Did you buy it at Main Street? Is it on sale? Or finally it's here. Verse 18. I didn't say, I said 18. Even when there was no reason for what? Hope. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he will become the father. For God has said to him, you see what gave him that faith? What God told him? That is how many descendants you will have. Continue. And Abraham's faith did not what? Weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. And that's what my wife should read this scripture. You don't like this hospital, very beautiful hospitals. Then verse 21. Brethren, I want to tell the church, there is nothing impossible with God. Nothing impossible with God. I don't care what that thing is. God is God all by himself. I don't care what that thing is. If you believe God, all things are possible. God is awesome. I was telling my friend, and I said, how do you get your case? He said, I want to finance. I said, finance? Can God give you one? How did you arrive at financing? Did you tell God you want one? And tell God I'm not financing, you can give me? Because all things are what? Possible. All things are possible. All things are what? Possible. Come on, church. All things are what? There was a brother that needed a car, had children, and the thing was paining me. I was thinking about it. I said, Lord, oh my God, he needs a car. He had these children. And these children will come and run to me. When it's time they run to me, my heart beats. Ah. And the Lord said to me, why don't you announce to your church? Tell them. Just tell them. I'll tell them. Stop bothering yourself for what you can do. Announce it. And we announced. See, when God tells you something, he does it. We announced. Within 4 hours, a family gave him a car. It wasn't long. I said, God, that's that quick, that fast. Brethren, God is not far from you. Don't let anybody deceive you. God is not what? Far. He is with you there. And so, he says, Abraham never wavered, believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew what? Stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. That's how it works. And he was giving thanks. Why thanks? Because he believed it's done. Did he see it? Church, I'm asking you. Did he say God says wait? No, he said God has done it. He said it is done. He was expecting it. And the Bible says he was giving thanks. Why should his faith grow stronger when he's growing older? Because he focused on what God told him, not on his body. And God put him there to teach us how to believe him too. And let me tell you something. You see, the experience of Abraham, it's not the everyday run of events for God. After that, how many times did you hear God that it took 25 years for somebody to get pregnant? It wasn't. God was just teaching us something out of Abraham. I've said it here. Abraham represented a limited life of grace, because there was no law when he lived. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my days and rejoiced. And we're called children of Abraham because we're supposed to live by faith like he did. And the whole Bible, Corinth, Romans, Galatians, they all spoke about Abraham. That he had the righteousness of faith. And we're supposed to have the righteousness of faith. And even Enoch, and read Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch and all these people, the Bible said they also had the righteousness of what? Faith. Not the righteousness of law. There was no law to give them righteousness. And under the New Testament, the Bible said, the law is what? Over. We are no more under, who wrote it? God. He said, if you are under the Spirit, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are no more under the law. Because if the Spirit is leading you, it's time of grace. We are no more under the law. We are back to what God wants it to be, the time of grace, the time of mercy. Because that's the only way we can get the blessings of God without hindrance. If it's through the law, we are limited. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, but you know, there are prayers also you keep doing. Like if I'm praying for my brother, because his faith is also involved, I keep praying. Because his faith is what? It's not only, but if it's me alone and my affair, and it's the will of God, I know what to do. But now I'm now stepping outside And there are other influences and other contingencies now coming in. So as I start to pray for him, the Spirit of God will guide me. Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 1:16. I have not stopped thanking God for you. Ephesians 1:16. I have not stopped what? Thanking God for you. Why? I pray for you how? Constantly. This is New Living Translation. You are okay, let's read King James. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he's praying for them all the time. Because this is a church. This is not about his personal deal. It's about the church. So he said, I pray for you constantly. What is he praying for? Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of what? You see, the type of prayer you pray always for your family, for yourself, for your church, that's what prayer group, they do it all the time. My wife and I, that's what we pray about you all the time. Because that's what the Holy Spirit showed us. That because the growth is continuous. You keep what? If you stop. You keep asking. You keep praying. The more you pray, the more he works. The more you pray, the more he works. There are things you know this year. By next year, you'll be amazed how ignorant you were last year. There are things that Kumuyi taught us. I didn't understand. You know when I left the palace? It's now my eyes is. The Spirit will remind me say, when he taught you that. That's why I tell people, if your pastor starts teaching, you don't be proud. You don't know more than them. If you do, God will make you their pastor. No. When God chose them, he knew you. He knew you in and out. And he gave them the anointing to pastor you and to teach you. You don't have it. No. Because the Bible says the higher blesses what? That's God's order. God doesn't joke with order. He's not confused about what he did. There are things he would make them say you don't understand. Don't worry yet. Keep growing. At a point, you are going to say, is that what pastor was saying that time? Let me tell you the mystery of God. There are times I start preaching a sermon, I don't know where it's going. I can't tell you where it's going. I just keep going. And all of a sudden, wow, this is where you are hidden with this thing. Oh my God. Yay, this is amazing. I too get blessed. Praise the Lord. And there are sermons I preach and I leave you and the Lord start teaching me. I say, Lord, you should have told me now. I should have told me, sir, I preach. He say, you're not done. You say, come back. And truth, the next time I find I'm not done. So, no, you're not done. That's introduction. So the next time now, you bring this one in. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with what? Light, so that you may understand the confident hope. You see this hope, this confidence they're talking about? So you understand how this thing, why the role it plays in your life. Is anybody sleeping? If you are sleeping, praise the Lord. Okay, nobody's sleeping. So you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Part of that confidence is the confidence you have when you pray. Because you are his child. The blessings of the family is yours. It's all yours. Confidence you pray. According to his will, he said, if you know that you have it, then you have the petition. Huh? You can stand like Abraham and say, I got it. I what? Got it. Praise the Lord. So we can keep praying for people, keep praying for ourselves about these spiritual resources that God will strengthen you, God will give you wisdom, God will give you. I used to pray one prayer. I used to ask God to make me the best husband my wife will ever have. I used to ask for wisdom to be a father, wisdom to be a husband, wisdom to be a pastor, wisdom to relate with people. Because you can't assume that you know what you're doing. You need to let God give you that wisdom. But if you don't ask, you'll be making mistakes. Lord, I can't pastor your people. I need your wisdom. I can't be a good husband. I need your wisdom. How do I handle this child? I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. I can't talk because I don't have anything to say. You know, part of the wisdom is timing. Only he knows where you can. And if he directs it, when you open your mouth, you feel it. But if you go because you know what you are doing, God, I'm telling you, children, now, you got to, you must be going to church. Now, must be born again. After saying that, they rebel them all. Because it's flesh. Flesh will profit you what? If it's not of the spirit, it has no life. Understand that. Just know that. Don't interject your flesh and wisdom. You can do the right thing with flesh. It will still profit you what? Except the Lord builds it. That's why you rely on him. Say, Lord, he gave me this child. I don't know what to say. Guide me. Guide me, oh, the great Jehovah. After singing it, enjoying the thing, you won't pray for wisdom. Can I hear amen? And then you know there is the one that they say, Daniel prayed, and then the devil hindered him for how many days? How many days? So they say, yeah, me too. Ha, God of mercy. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me one and twenty days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kingdom of Persia. But before then, you need to know that when Daniel prayed that prayer, that the scripture says, when you prayed, that God, what? Answered it that time. That is Daniel chapter 10. I don't have the verse here. Does anybody know the verse? Daniel chapter 10, I think it's in verse. It's verses before this one. Verse what? Verse 4. Can you put it up? Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first what day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, to number one, understand, and trusting thyself before thy God, thy words were hard. When was it hard? First day. First day. When was it hard? First day. And the man was under the old covenant. First day. You set your heart to understand. Understanding. Revelation that guided this thing you are doing. So it was hard. He said, but you know, he said, I came to give because the prince of Persia withstood me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the prince of Persia cannot withstand you. Let me give you the information right now. Because when he was doing all that, Jesus hasn't gone to the cross and removed all the garagara they are doing. The Bible says he defeated them, made a public show of what? Openly. And disarmed them completely. And then the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things where? Suck to me. Of things where? And things where? And things where? Prince of Persia is gone. His authority is taken from him. He could mess around with Angel Michael, can't mess around with you. Can't mess around with you. Because in spiritual authority, you're higher than angels. None of them is a child of God. No angel is a child of God. No angel has the privilege a Christian has. Not one. They are not seated where we're seated. Where are we seated? Where Jesus is seated. Because the Bible says, because we're united with him. We're united with him. We are church, you are united with Christ. Don't forget this all your life. You are united. So if Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, where are you seated? Where is Angel Michael? He's not here. He's not part of it. He's not here. He's not part of this thing. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. The same authority he has is what we have. And the Bible tells us, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to who? Christ. And Christ says, I give it what? Unto you. In my name. You can cast. As a matter of fact, if you know the truth, if you ever go where demons are, they begin to fidget. I've told this story, and I'll tell it over and over, about Brother Brown, who lived in a flat in Surulere. And his landlord was a real native doctor type, you know. And then when he moved in, the man came to him and said, you need to pack out of my house. He said, why? He said, since you moved in, everything I do doesn't work anymore. And Brown said to him, he said, you are the one to finally pack out because we reign on earth. I'm not moving anywhere. And the landlord finally packed up. This is real story. And look, I'm standing here. Went to Surulere and the Landlords Association. I didn't know. They had a meeting to kill me. Real story. Had a meeting. I'm not Surulere. Ajegunle. If you know Ajegunle in Lagos, one of the worst places. They will kill people in front of our church. Dead people in front of the church. So I didn't know they were having a meeting to eliminate me. And then they sent this woman to come and do the thing. So the woman came and sat in front. I don't forget that. So we started to worship God. We haven't even prayed. Started to worship God. She ran. And I told the people, I said, run after her. Because initially, I didn't know why she would run like that. So they grabbed her and took her into a room. And I came there. I said, what's wrong? He said, I told them. I warned them. I can't do it. I cannot do it. They said, but you've done it before. You can't do it. He said, I can't. I said, who? He said, the Landlords Association. I said, do what? He said, they told me to come and kill you. I said, with what? So she brought out all the things in her bag. I said, is this small God in your bag? He said, is this small thing? I said, your God can enter your bag. I said, so this is what you brought to kill me. I said, I'm in a big God. He's in me and in him. His glory fills the earth. And you can do nothing. I said, okay, now your God has failed you. Can I introduce you to my God? She still didn't believe. She believed something. Somebody, I have somebody who did something for me. Brethren, that's you. That's you. That's you. Brethren, that's you. That's the glory of Jesus. Don't bring shame to the kingdom of God. Stand in boldness, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Who is the devil? Has not given us the spirit of fear. We reign on earth. We reign on earth. We reign on earth. Church, we reign on earth. Arise and shine. Stop all this story about the devil. Devil did this. Devil did this. What did God do? What did God do? What did, for God's sake, don't you have something to say about the marvelous God, what God is doing? Come on, church. Aren't we the oracles of God? How come the devil stole our mouth and we are the oracles of Satan? Every time we talk about Satan, every time we talk about Satan, we have forgotten that he's under where? Our feet. That's where he is. And he's not coming out. He's not going nowhere. Everything he trusted in has been taken from him. Daniel 21 days. No, that's your 21 days, my friend. If he shows up, take the name of Jesus and what? Kick him out. Case. Then the other thing. Are we doing okay? So, the disciples of Jesus, somebody brought them a demonized person to cast out. And they couldn't. Can we talk about that? Yeah, they could. And so, Matthew 17, 16. Matthew 17, 16 says, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. They could not. And then, what did Jesus say? Then Jesus answered and said, oh, what? Faithless. And what? Perverseness. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How long will I be teaching you? He says, bring him hither to me. Jesus is saying, these people are faithless people and perverse. Church, let me tell you something. Unbelief is evil. You talk of adultery, we frown. But have you read that Bible? Why did Israel not enter the promise? Because of unbelief. God swore, said, this is yours. But he said, I now swear in my right, you will not touch it. Why? Because of what? That's why Jesus said, you are perverse people. The Bible calls evil heart of unbelief. When you have unbelief, you don't believe in God. Because if you do, you will believe his word. God says the issue is you don't believe I'm real. He that cometh to God must first believe. You don't. If you believe I'm real, believing my word is simple. And then the next verse, verse 20, they had a conference. They all came for a conference. Peter, everything, they came. I was wondering what Peter was saying. And Jesus said unto them, they asked him, sir, why did we fail? And Jesus told them point blank, because of your what? Unbelief. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove it, go yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible. But you don't believe. Then he now says something in verse 21, which people misread. How be it this kind does go it not out, but by prayer and what? Fasting. Now, don't forget that these very disciples have been casting out demons before without fasting. They've been doing it. Look at Mark 6:12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Verse 13. What were they doing? Church, what were they doing in verse 13? And they cast out how many? Many demons. And did what again? Anointed with oil, many who were sick. And they've been doing this before. Remember, Jesus said to them, I give unto you. Oh, they've been doing that. Wasn't the first time. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject what? Unto us. Have they been doing this before? Church, I'm asking you, were they fasting to do it? Okay. But they were having success. Okay. Now, this situation came to them. And see what happened. Luke 9:39 tells us what they saw. An evil spirit keeps seizing him. Keeps what? A continuous, relentless, demonic attack that will not stop. Continuous, relentless. And making him what? Scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams what? I don't know. Very frightening. Very extremely frightening situation. Church, they have never seen this type before. And remember, Jesus wasn't there. So they're not seeing anything like that. Can you imagine that? Continuous. That devil was terrible. Continuous. Very continuous. Not relentless. Non-stop. I was foaming and convulsing. If it's you, will you not feel for it? Even as I'm teaching, if it happens now, you leave. And so Jesus told them that this type of situation you find, that when you meet something that challenges your faith and your faith is challenged to the max, go back to God. Go and seek God about it. So he said, this type of situation, you need to fast and pray. When you fast and pray, are you not talking to God? I'm asking you. So he said, go back to God. Go back to God. Because this one is greater than your faith. Go back to God. Talk to him. And when you are done, you can come back. Because then your faith would have been... Amen? I said amen. And Peter learned it from him. In Acts chapter 9:40. Am I communicating to you? If not tomorrow, you won't understand it now. Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down. What did Peter do? They called Peter and said, Dorcas is dead. Now watch it. Peter never raised the dead. His shadow was healing them. But he never raised it. So he was faced with a dead woman. Peter didn't go there like he did in the man at the beautiful gate. He knew this is something I had never done before. And he remembered what Jesus told him. So what did Peter do? Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed. He went to God. He said, Lord, I've never done this. What do I do here? And turning him to the body now, after he has prayed, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Did you see the process Jesus was in? You meet something, this type of situation. You've not seen it before. Because if you say, oh, this type, okay, how do you know this type? How do you know? It would be confusion. This type of thing that challenges you, you've not seen it before. It's frightening to you. Go back to God. There are things that your faith can handle because of your spiritual growth. But there are things that your faith is shakes your faith. You need to go back to God. And so Peter came in. He did go to, I said, Tabitha, no. He went back to God, knelt down, talked to God, and I'm sure the Lord spoke to him. And then his faith came up, and he spoke exactly what the Lord said. And there was a result. Are you following me here? If you are following me, say amen. But today now, what is the instruction that Jesus gave us? Mark 16:17. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils and with fasting too. Why? Because Jesus has destroyed the power of Satan, disarmed him, and given us the authority of God that is invested in his name. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name, which is what? Above every name, that at the name of Jesus, how many knees? Is there anyone that he says some of these ones you need to fast? No, because the power is vested in that name. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven, whether they are partial, whatever, in heaven, and where? On earth, and where? Praise the Lord. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. How much? All power is given unto me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Go ye what? Yeah. So when he gave us his name, he handed us the same all power that's vested in his name. That's why every name was bound. God himself decreed it. It's a decree of divine God that at the name God decreed. Now, talk of fasting a little bit. Let me tell us something. All of you, listen to me. Fasting doesn't make you accepted to God. It doesn't give you any advantage with God. The only reason you're accepted to God is your faith in Christ Jesus. Period. It's not by works, so no man can boast. Fasting doesn't make you give any advantage with God. You say, Pastor, how are you sure? 1 Corinthians 8:8. It is true. 1 Corinthians 8:8. It is true that we can't win God's approval by what? By what we eat. Am I reading Bible? Okay, you read it with me. Let's go. 1, 2, go. It is true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat, and we don't gain anything. Read it again. Okay, put King James Version. Please, put King James. Let's read it. Put it, King James. Put King James. I beg, put King James now. Can you share it? For we are you gone to another place? 1 Corinthians is what we are talking. 1 Corinthians 8:3. You've gone to Philippians 3:3.
Are you a Gentile? Okay. But meat commended us not to God. It doesn't commend you to God. You know what commendation is? It's to bring you appraisal or something. It doesn't commend us to God. For neither if we eat, are we better. Neither if we eat not, are we worse. So it's irrelevant to your relationship with God. It doesn't make God, it doesn't draw you nearer to God. You know what's work, you know what serving God in the Spirit means? It's to trust what Jesus did. It's to walk by faith. Walking in the Spirit is simply walking by faith. Because you walk trusting in what you don't see. But if you walk by flesh, you are walking by sight. You are looking at what you see. In that class is what you do. All the things you do is all part of walking by flesh. But all the things that Jesus did is all part of walking by the Spirit. And the flesh will profit you what? Nothing. Now, look at this. Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly... So what do? We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. Church, we rely on what Christ Jesus has what? We put no confidence in human, including your fasting. It's all what human beings do. You rely on what Jesus did on the cross to confront the devil. You rely on his name to confront the devil. You can't rely on what you do. We rely on what Jesus did. He said, we are the ones walking by the Spirit. We're not walking by sight. We're not walking by the flesh. Oh, you say, Pastor, okay, why do we fast? Because we fast in the church, we fast. You know why we fast? It's because of your flesh. Fasting benefits you, not God. Because your flesh and the Spirit, they're always there. Yeah. When you fast, you attenuate your flesh. You weaken it. For instance, if you are given to talking, you talk less. Because there's no strength. If you are given to watching TV too much, you can't watch. You don't even have strength to watch. And then it brings you discipline where you dedicate that time truly to seeking the Lord. It helps you know, hey, this is seeking the Lord time. So you fast. So that your spirit will have ascendancy over your flesh. And when your spirit has ascendancy, your connection with God works better. It's not because God has changed. Is because you have changed. If you get to say amen. That's why the Bible doesn't teach the church about fasting. You can't see where the Holy Spirit taught the church, this is how you fast from morning to evening. Your fast. It's not there. In fact, the whole of the Bible. That's why there's no instruction about fasting. But there's instruction to pray, to study, to do evangelism. You won't see any instruction to the church to fast. Because we rely on what Jesus has done. And when they start to bother Jesus about fasting, they say, disciples of John the Baptist say, fast. And he said, well, how can you bring old cloth and join to what? New cloth. He said, when I'm gone, now they can fast. But is he here with you? I'm asking you. So when will he go? He's going nowhere. He stay with us. He said, look, I'm here now. So why do you bother them? Love them now. When I go, then they can. But he told them, he said, I will not leave you. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. He said, and I will not leave you all. He said, is he with you? So you can still say to those Pharisees, he hasn't left me yet. He's still here with me. He said, don't bring old cloth and join. This is a new dispensation of grace altogether. I have come to do something that we give them all the blessings of God free of charge. Free while you were yet what? Sinners. Christ died. What did you do to merit him? So why did he give you Jesus? For God so, and it's the same reason he still gives you thanks to them. The same reason. The same reason. The same. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday, I'll continue from here. I don't know if you got anything. You know, there was somebody who went to get something from God. He took his resume. Come. This is our brother. I love him too much. So that he knows I love him. He took his resume to read to God. What did he read to God? He said, number one, I fast. I pray often. What does he say? And I'm not like Brother Zendokwe here. I'm not like him. He said, this man shouldn't be in this church. See that? Do you know that's what many people do? In their heart, they condemn people. They become judge. Do you know the reason? You are being gripped with self-righteousness. It's a dangerous thing. And Jesus said, that man will come down. But there was another brother that came to church. He went. He said, I'm not even coming in. So I know those people. They'll gossip with me. I will stay outside. He said, Lord, have mercy. What? But what did God say? Come unto the throne of grace. That you will obtain mercy. Because what I'm giving you is free. It's based on my mercy. It's not you. He said, what is boasting? He said, it doesn't exist. Your healing is his mercy. The son of David, have mercy. Jesus stopped. He said, what do you want? He said, I will receive my sight. It's okay. It's mercy. The proud people, we want to achieve it. I want to ask us a question. I didn't study English. I'm a pharmacist by training. If something is unmerited, can you merit it? Huh? I'm asking a simple question. If something is unmerited, can you merit it? Is God's favor unmerited? Huh? Do you know any God's blessing that is merited? I'm asking. You are not answering me. Leave it till next Sunday. Let's rise up to pray.